You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. In the studio with us today, Heidi Cartwright from Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here this morning on a sunny day in June. It is June 13th, and we want to welcome everyone to the show. And we certainly hope if you have any questions during the show that you call in or you can text us. And I think Ron has that number.
I have that. It's the same number for both purposes, 231 area code 947-0023. Call or text 947-0023.
But before we jump into our topic for today, let's introduce everyone else who's here with me today. I have Nathan Prout, who is our Director of Client Services, and he's also a financial advisor with the firm. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And we also have with us today Deanne Jennings. She's our Director of Operations.
I want to say good morning to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us this morning, and happy summer.
Happy summer. Out there.
And if people out there find the show so fascinating today, they can hear it again on Saturday. We have a replay at 9 a.m.
There's no restriction on how many times you can listen to it.
That is true. No. As many times it's as you want to listen, we welcome you to listen to it.
Yeah, there's even the podcast, too.
That's right. So you can listen to it over and over again. So today our topic comes to us from Ed Slott's newsletter from June, and the topic is RMDs. RMDs are something that anyone who has an IRA or a 401k, an employer plan, will need to pay attention to as they retire, as they get older.
It stands for?
Required minimum distribution. So if you think about it, all this money is out there invested in all these IRAs and these plans, and the government taxes you when you take the money out. So this is their way of encouraging all of us to take money out of those, and that triggers some income tax.
Is that required IRA and 401 or just IRAs?
It depends.
Oh.
Usually it's both, but okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we have people who are turning RMD age all the time, and so we thought it would be good to step back and go over some of the parameters of this requirement. So we used to have one simple rule for RMDs, over the last couple of years, Congress has passed two acts, the SECURE Act and the SECURE 2.0 Act, that has changed the landscape for us. And now we have four different categories of RMD ages. So anyone who was born June 30th of 1949 or earlier they had to begin their RMDs when they were 70 and a half years old. People born between July 1st of 1949 to December 31st of 1950, their RMD age is 72. Then our next group that has an RMD age of 73, those are people born between January 1st of 1951 and December 31st of 1959. And then we come to our last group, is anyone born 1960 or later. And those people haven't turned 75 yet, but that it will be the RMD age for them as long as Congress doesn't change the rules again on us. So the first RMD year is the calendar year in which the owner of the IRA reaches one of those ages that we just described. The first RMD can be taken at any time during the calendar year. So there's no need to wait for your birthday to actually go by before you make that distribution. Additionally, the first RMD, and this is only for the first RMD, that RMD can be delayed actually until April 1st of the year following your first RMD age year. So what that means is if you turned 73 this year and you had to start taking RMDs, you could actually wait until April 1st of 2025 before you took that required minimum distribution without incurring a penalty. But this isn't always a good idea to wait. It's really put in place so that the first time, the first time that you have to take an RMD, that if you miss it, you have a few months to make that distribution. If you wait, you would have two RMDs in that year of 2025. So you would be paying taxes on both of those. So it's not always just because you can wait that you should wait. To spread the tax out, it might be better to take it in the year that you actually turn that trigger date.
And I think this is a really important point, Heidi. It's called the required beginning date. Like, a lot of people get confused on that because it does extend until April 1st the next year. So it's really right. Something to pay attention to.
It's the RBD for the RMD, for your IRA.
So for people that have these 401ks, IRAs, do they get a notice in the mail and say, hey, it's your 72nd birthday, that means you have to take your RMD? Or is this something they just have to know and be proactive about?
Usually the custodians will send something out for that, especially for IRA owners.
Okay.
401ks, actually, we'll get into that. So there are some work plan exceptions.
Yes, there are.
So as Heidi was saying, with the RBD, there typically are no exceptions. Not typically. There are no exceptions to the RBD rules for IRA accounts, including SEP and simple IRAs. The RBD is always April 1st of the year following the year the account owner reaches age 73. There are ways to delay RMDs on certain employer plan funds. For those who have 401ks or other retirement savings plans, the RBD is the same April 1st as it is for IRA owners, unless the person qualifies for an exception. For instance, if the person is still working for the company where they have the plan and they do not own more than 5% of the company in their age 73 year, and the plan allows, you can delay your RBD to April 1st of the year following the year that you retire.
So you have to have all those dominoes line up in order to take advantage of not having to take a required minimum.
So all of this is quite confusing for the layperson. So is that with those exceptions for business owners or 401k holders? Again, do they have somebody that will notify them, or should they go to the custodian or a financial advisor and say, is there anything I need to know about this?
Yeah, the custodian would typically notify you again in that instance, even at the 401k level. Oh. But again, it gets dicey because of the still working exception, and they might not always know if you're more than a 5% owner of the company, too.
So. Right.
One text, somebody said, do RMDs, your required minimum distribution, does it apply to Roth accounts where the taxes have already been paid? Uncle Sam already got his.
No. The best part, one of the best parts about Roth IRAs is that they have no RBD, which means they have no RMD.
Okay. They don't have a beginning date. And that's yeah. nice, because if you don't need the money, you don't want to take the money out, you can mm-hmm. keep it in that Roth and it could keep growing tax-free over that time.
Yeah. But, of course, assuming you're the right age and you've had the money in the Roth IRA for more than 5 years, you can also take a distribution from that if you want, and it won't be taxed either. So,
and, Ron, you're exactly right. This is very complex, complicated, and so that's where your financial advisor comes in handy, you know, to be able to communicate with them and find out. Financial advisors, the firm, usually helps contact the clients, keep track of it and help you out there.
And if you don't know, you should ask and mm-hmm. Contact a professional or ask your CPA and they can help you figure out if you need to take one. And then there's always how you take one. There's a lot of different ways to take your RMD. There are some people who will look at the lump sum amount that they have to take out, and they may take it on a monthly basis to supplement income. Or you may want to take it at a lump sum. I have some clients who like a lump sum right around when property taxes are due, or maybe their auto insurance, they have a big bill, and so they take the lump sum there, and then they can dedicate those funds for that purpose.
What do you know offhand? What's the formula? Like, how much do you have to take out, your required minimum distribution?
That is such a great lead-in. It's almost like we told you what's next, right?
You keep jumping ahead of us, Ron. We'll get there. So, yeah, let's wrap up the still working exception real quick. So the still working exception to the required beginning date only applies to RMDs from employer plans. It does not apply to IRAs, and it also does not apply to employer plans if the individual is not currently working for that company. The still working exception provision is optional on the part of the plan as well. So that one gets pretty dicey.
Yeah.
So now let's get to calculating the first RMD.
That's right. And so to answer your question, Ron, is how do you calculate it? Well, the government, the IRS, puts out a table. Mm-hmm. And on that table, it has divisors for every age. And they differ every year. The percentage gets higher of the amount you have to take out every year. So what you do is you look at all of your IRA accounts or your 401k accounts, employer plans, and you figure out what was the balance. So let's say we're looking this year. We would look at the balance on December 31st of 2023, and what was the balance in those IRAs. Then we take the divisor, divide that into that number, and that the result is the amount that you have to take out. Now, right now, people turning 73 have to start those RMDs, and the table starts out at approximately 3.7%. But as I said, the divisor changes each year, and of course, your balance, as the market goes up and down or you take distributions, your balance is going to change as well. So you can sort of maybe guess what it might be, but you never really know what it's going to be the next year, because as we experienced in 2022, the market went down significantly. So as a result, in 2023, RMDs were maybe a little bit less than what people had expected or maybe planned on. So it is a moving target.
So 3.7% roughly. If one was at in that age, say they had $1 million, nice round figure here, they would have to take out $37,000 required in that calendar year.
That's correct.
Yes. That's correct. Okay.
So, and then
taxed. That does not count any Roth accounts, though.
That's also correct. Yep. So if you really didn't need that money and you had to take it,
yeah,
And you were charitably minded. That's too where qualified charitable distributions can make a very nice play in that potential tax hit for you too.
Could you put it into another account? Like whatever the limit is, what you can put into an IRA per year, could you take your required minimum distribution if you didn't need it and put part of it back in?
If you were still working, you could maybe do that. But that money has to get to you first. You have to pay the taxes on it, and then you'd have to put it, you know, back into a Roth. It probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to put it back into an IRA. Yeah.
Another thing you can do, Ron, is there's no rule that you have to spend it. They really just want to trigger that income tax. So once you have that money, you could put it in a non-qualified account, like an individual account, a trust account, a joint account, and continue to invest those funds for future uses. But you can spend it, too.
That way they can start taxing you on it again, too, with with earned interest and all that sort of thing, too.
There you go. So that's sort of how the RMDs are figured. And one thing we do for our clients, we have somebody, our whole team actually, we make sure that anyone who is over RMD age has taken their RMDs. And it's because we don't want our clients to miss it or to have any penalties. So, Nathan, how about... how do we take stuff out? What's the planning that goes into taking out RMDs from multiple different IRAs or employer plans?
Yeah, before we get into that, it looks like we have a question from an unidentified listener.
What's the penalty if I don't take the RMD because my advisor forgot to tell me? So the buck stops with the IRA holder?
Well, there is a penalty if you do not take the RMD, which is 25%. But there are some...
Of what the RMD was supposed to be?
Correct. Okay. So it's substantial. And there are a couple of ways where you can reduce that penalty. One of the ways you can eliminate the penalty is if the custodian or the financial advisor or some professional gave you the wrong information or failed to provide certain information. So that is a way, there is a platform to...
So if you say if you can prove your advisor did not inform you, then you can maybe not have to pay the penalty.
You could do something like that, but yeah, we'll actually get into that in a little bit here. Okay. But you could
question.
Do that with a waiver request, essentially, for that penalty.
So. That penalty has changed, though, right? It used to be 50%.
That's correct. Yeah. And Secure 2.0 reduced it to 25%.
So. Yeah, and they rarely. Like, I've never seen a case where they charged that 50% for that missed RMD. It's a little suspicious that they lowered it to 25% because
we might
see some of those penalties start
they
to
might
exist
start
now.
Enforcing it. Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. You never know what the government's going to do.
As, that's true.
As John said last week, right? Non-clarity is a revenue generator.
There you go.
So, as promised, let's get into RMD aggregation. So, if none of that was confusing for you, one of the more confusing parts of the RMD rules is understanding when RMDs can be combined and taken from one account. Not all RMDs can be aggregated. Lifetime RMDs from IRA accounts, including SEP and Simple IRAs, owned by the same individual, can be calculated for each account and then added together. The total amount of the RMD can then be taken from any one or combination of owned IRA accounts for that individual.
And that's a great flexibility about this aggregation, because when you can aggregate and you can look at which account is the best place to make the distribution, and maybe you don't want to take it from a certain investment, so that gives you a little flexibility as where that money is coming from, which account you're going to look at. And we look at that consistently year after year depending on the market conditions.
Yeah, and before we keep going, it looks like we have a caller.
Yeah, let's go to the telly. We have Frank on the line calling in from Kingsley for Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone. My question is, my mother passed away, and I'm a beneficiary of a life insurance policy. Do I have to pay taxes on that?
Typically, life insurance proceeds are not taxable to you. So the only caveat to that is if it was a significantly large whole life policy, but that's a pretty rare occurrence that those proceeds would be taxable to you.
I didn't think I had to pay, but I wanted to check.
Yep.
All right. Frank, thanks for the call, and Kingsley. And to confirm anything like that, would you just check with a guy like John Sluice, a CPA or a tax attorney?
Yeah, an accountant or a financial advisor would be able to look at that with you.
To be sure, but generally not.
Generally, life insurance is...
It's a pretty rare scenario where it is taxable.
Okay. So you're aggregating your RMD, or your RMD is aggravating you, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a lot of different A words we could use here. But, lifetime RMDs for each company plan, like a 401k, must be calculated separately for each plan and taken separately from each plan. The rule is different for 403b plans. Lifetime RMDs for each 403b account must be calculated separately, but the total RMD for all 403b accounts may be taken from one or more of those accounts. So we have a handy dandy chart that tells you basically the aggregation rules. So IRAs, including SEP and simple IRAs, RMDs for each IRA account must be calculated separately, but the total RMD for all IRA accounts may be taken from one or more of the IRAs. Again, there's no still working exception for SEP or simple IRAs. So even if a client is still actively at work for the company, maintaining the plan, and they are receiving or making annual contributions, deferrals, an RMD must be taken. Again, Roth IRAs, there are no RMDs for a Roth IRA owner during their lifetime.
And Nathan, this is something when we see a client with a large amount of money in the IRA or in the 401k plan, in the pre-tax, where you're going to trigger tax when you take out the RMD. This is something that we would like to think about before you get to RMD age, is managing that future liability. And one of the ways you can do that is maybe convert to a Roth IRA, convert some funds, and thus lower the balance of the traditional side, moving it over to the Roth side, and help lowering that future RMD. And there's other strategies that we employ in order to handle that future liability coming down the highway, but Roth IRAs are a good one.
Yeah, especially while the tax rates are still so low through the end of 2025.
But we did have a question along those lines. Does the RMD get treated as ordinary income when you take it out? Is that when the tax is due?
Yes.
Yes.
So it is ordinary income from an IRA. So all withdrawals from an IRA that go to you will be treated as ordinary income. Mm. Again, the QCD could play a part there, because if you gift it directly to the charity, it would not count as income to you. Mm-hmm. So... is that when the tax is due? So depending if you file taxes quarterly, it could get into that a little bit, as well as the size of the RMD. A lot of people, when they do have to take an RMD, will just have the tax withholding done at that point directly at the custodian. And they'll send, you know, that 15-20% directly to the IRS on your behalf.
But if you do not have that withholding, you're going to have to settle up when your taxes are due, if that's April 15th or whatever date you have that it's due.
Yep. Getting back into aggregation, again, company plans excluding 403B and IRA-based plans must be calculated separately for each plan and taken separately from each plan. Again, 403Bs differ a little bit from that. Inherited IRAs, including inherited SEP and inherited simple IRAs, RMDs for inherited IRAs of different decedents cannot be aggregated or combined in any way.
So if you inherit an IRA from your mom and you inherit an IRA from your dad, you can't combine that.
Correct. RMDs for inherited IRA accounts of the same decedent must be calculated separately, but the total RMD for all inherited IRAs of the same decedent may be taken from one or more of the inherited IRA accounts of the same decedent.
So you can see how simple,
simple
this is.
I know.
To figure out like where you should take it, who has to take it, when they have to take it.
How much you need to take.
Yeah. And you know how we were talking about Roth IRAs? Well, inherited Roth IRAs have to have RMDs, but it's not taxed. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, RMDs for inherited Roth IRAs of different decedents cannot be aggregated or combined in any way. RMDs for inherited Roth IRA accounts of the same decedent must be calculated separately, but again, the total RMD for all inherited Roth IRAs of the same decedent may be taken from one or more of the inherited Roth IRA accounts of the same decedent. So, again, you have to take RMDs for inherited Roth IRAs and empty that account over a 10-year period as the beneficiary, unless it's a spouse. And, so you have to empty it over 10 years, but none of that income that comes from that Roth will be taxable to you.
And then another point that I think we should point out when we're talking about aggregation is what you said regarding company plans. So a lot of people these days have worked at multiple different employers. So you could end up with three or four accounts in different 401k accounts. If you choose to keep them in the 401k and not roll them to the IRA, then you have that complexity of not being able to aggregate. Mm-hmm. Versus you might consider, once you get to RMD age, if it makes sense for you, of rolling those 401ks over to an IRA to give you that aggregation flexibility. That's another planning point that we go over with people. It's not unusual. I mean, we see people with multiple 401k balances from different former employers all the time.
Yeah. It could be a strategy to, if you're still working, yeah, combine that into your current 401k too.
And avoid the RMD.
Yeah.
That's another great point.
So. We've had quite a few clients come in and say, I do need to simplify all, my accounts. It does make sense.
A lot of different strategies you can use with these RMDs.
What is an inherited Roth IRA, somebody wants to know?
Yeah, so that's a beneficiary Roth IRA. So, if your parents had a Roth IRA, they pass away, and you are the beneficiary of it, that would be an inherited Roth IRA.
Okay. All right.
Or an uncle or something like that, too.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about the Roth, inheriting a Roth, is there's no income taxes associated with that.
Mm-hmm. So good to have a team of experts lined up, whether they start with your financial advisors, maybe a tax attorney.
Yeah.
Or a CPA, I should say, before a tax attorney. But, I just want to make sure you ask the questions of the right people and you can save money. All right. Oh, we have a question here on the text line for the panel today. And this is for a non-spouse inherited Roth IRA. So you inherited a Roth IRA, not from your spouse. Does it have to be emptied out within 10 years, by year 10? And if so, do I need to take my RMDs in years 1 through 9? Can I do it all at the end, at the 10?
So assuming you are a non-eligible designated beneficiary.
A non-spouse.
Yep,
that's...
Among other things.
And you are more than 10 years younger than the account holder. Then yes, you do have to take RMDs in years 1 through 9 from that inherited Roth IRA.
Even if you don't want to take the money out, you want to take it all out at the end, at 10 years.
Yep.
Everything has to be out by the end of 10 years.
And again, it all comes back to that required beginning date. So the government was trying to provide some clarity with the RBD. But since Roth IRAs have no required beginning date, as soon as you inherit that, that triggers the required beginning date. So that's what they were trying to do with even regular IRAs. So if you inherit from somebody who was past their required beginning date and they were taking RMDs, they call it the at least as rapidly rule, where you have to continue those RMDs over that period and empty it out over that 10-year period.
Wow. And that question just leads us to something we can clarify. So what happens if you, what about after death? For a traditional IRA, if an IRA owner dies before their required beginning date, there is no RMD due for the year of death, even if the IRA owner was over the age of 73 at death. So that's just something to remember. In that year of death, there's going to be some special rules. And as you can tell from just the conversation here, I think we've had a whole show on just beneficiaries of IRAs and all the rules. I mean, it can get complex. So the best thing to do is touch nothing at first and in an inherited situation, and go and check with someone to find out what are the requirements that you are going to have to inherit this account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that required beginning date and the at least as rapidly rule have actually been so confusing since their introduction in, was it 2020?
Yeah.
That they have waived those missed RMDs, because everybody's missed those RMDs because they're like, oh, I have to empty the account in 10 years, so why would I have an RMD? But so many people have missed those RMDs that they have waived any penalties for every year.
Amazing. Some stats with Deanne Jennings?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the first time dating back to at least 2000, and when I first read this, I'm like, 2000 wasn't that long ago. Mm. That was 24 years ago. So dating back to at least 2000, three stocks now make up 20% of the S&P 500 market value, and those are Microsoft, Apple, NVIDIA, each worth a little more than $3 trillion.
Wow.
This update challenges the idea of diversification in a market, and that source is Morningstar. The market's overall condition is healthy in broad terms. The S&P 500 reached a new record high last week, marking its 25th of the year, 25 highs of the year, and that source is Barron's. The index has gone 328 trading days without a 2% one-day decline, marking its third longest streak of the century. And that source is Market Briefs. Is optimism in the air? In a May survey, the New York Fed found that 78% of respondents expect to be financially the same or better off in 12 months. That's the highest reading since 2021.
That sort of surprises me, because I don't get that feeling out there.
I know.
That people are feeling like things are getting better.
New York must be feeling it. Just send it our way. And that source is Market Briefs. At Apple's annual development conference on June 10th, CEO Tim Cook shared many updates, including iOS 18 and Apple Intelligence for most of the company's main products. Apple Intelligence is an in-house AI software. And that source is Market Briefs. As of May 29th, NVIDIA's market cap had grown 10 times from its 2022 low, rising from $280 billion on October 14th, 2022, up to $2.8 trillion. NVIDIA now ranks as the third largest U.S. stock behind Apple at $2.9 trillion and Microsoft at $3.2 trillion.
So really, it's a race to $4 trillion now.
Yeah. It is. It's crazy.
How many people heard of NVIDIA before 2022?
Right.
Yeah. Well, computer engineers.
Yeah. It's been really dynamic, that growth. It's just amazing to watch and to look at the graphs and compare it to other stocks, and it's just so...
And we've been talking a lot on the show about AI and the technology and all that, and we're seeing the response to that. So, and that source was Bespoke. 520 what? So in our office, we've been talking a lot about 529s because there have been some additional rules that have changed, and to our benefit. But anyway, half American adults and 32% of adults saving for their children's education do not know what a 529 plan is. Of those surveyed who were familiar with 529 plans, only half were aware that these plans could be used to fund more than just higher education. And that source is Edward Jones and Morning Consult.
So what's a 529, a college savings account?
Yes, education savings account. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. It can be used more than just for college.
That's right. Yeah. It can be used for trade schools. It can be used for K through 12 education. And if you do not use the funds in the 529 account, you can, if as long as you meet certain parameters, you can roll that into a Roth IRA for the beneficiary of the 529 account, which is, I think, a great change.
It's a huge benefit.
Yeah. Instead of being stuck with money in the 529 and facing penalties or taxes when you take it out, now you have this option to gift that to the beneficiary of the 529 in the form of a Roth IRA.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Stats.
Yeah. So now we're also going to get into what happens when you miss an RMD and how to fix it. So the first step for that is identifying it. So when retirement account owners reach their required beginning date, RMDs must be withdrawn. Again, the due date for most RMDs is December 31st. However, account owners have extra time to receive their first RMD. Again, as Heidi said, that deadline is April 1st of the year following the first RMD year. So
then we should understand some of the penalties that go along with that. So after you've identified that you've missed an RMD, the penalties in the original Secure Act, the penalty was 50% of what the RMD that was not taken out of the account. This was changed to 25%, as Nathan mentioned, starting in 2023. So an additional caveat that was added to this in the Secure 2.0 is if the mistake is corrected in a timely manner, the penalty is further reduced to 10%. So again, timely correction means taking the missed RMD and filing Form 5329 by the end of the second calendar year following the year for which the RMD was missed. Simple, right? But anyway, the point here is as soon as you realize that you missed an RMD, you forgot, something got messed up, you didn't realize which age group you were supposed to be in and what your trigger age was. You don't want to procrastinate. You want to take care of it. You want to withdraw that. You want to take the RMD as soon as possible and file the proper forms. Waiting when you're in a tax situation just adds to more penalties and interest, and it just digs a deeper hole. So addressing it as soon as possible is always the best path. So then we go into how would we request a waiver, going back to one of our earlier text messages that said, what if your financial advisor makes a mistake, or how do you get a waiver? How do you get out of it?
Yeah. So prior to 2023, if an IRA owner or a beneficiary had missed an RMD, as Heidi was saying, the IRS could impose a penalty equal to 50% of the missed amount. The IRS consistently waived this penalty if the account owner took the RMD and filed Form 5329 with a reasonable cause explanation. So that reasonable cause explanation, again, if this was a fault of the financial advisor or whatnot, this is where you would specify, like, hey, my financial advisor did not inform me of this. This is why I am requesting the waiver, basically.
Is there, like, a body that decides that, whether it's believable or not? I mean, how do they – if you file it, are you good, or might they somebody dispute that?
They might dispute it,
Is it the IRS?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then usually you just – you send this form in, and you don't hear anything, so – it's one of those no news is good news sort of thing.
Exactly. you actually don't want to hear a response to that.
Yeah, so again, when these procedures were followed, the IRS routinely excused the 50% penalty without even responding to the filing. With a reduction in the penalty from 50% to 25% or 10%, beginning for 2023 under Secure 2.0, it was not clear whether the IRS would continue to waive the penalty if someone followed the same procedures that had worked in the past. However, the 2023 version of Form 5329 confirms that the form can still be used to seek a waiver of RMD penalties. So again, it's a little hypothetical too, especially with all of the recent hirings that they've done for more IRS agents and those sorts of things, if they're going to be imposing these penalties now or not, especially since they've lowered them to be a lot less drastic than 50%. Yeah. So if a retirement account owner or beneficiary decides to pursue a waiver using Form 5329 and you do not have to go back and amend previous Form 1040 filings.
That's a relief.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead, the first step is to withdraw the missed RMD. So again, as soon as you realize it, get it out of the account. The income from the RMD is included on the return for the year of the distribution. So hypothetically, you missed it in 2023. You take it at the start of this year. It counts as your 2024 income. It will be taxed again in 2024. The IRS will not even consider granting relief from the penalty until the RMD is taken.
So make sure you take the RMD.
Yep. So Form 5329 addresses many different penalty situations for not only IRAs, but also for other types of accounts, such as HSAs and Coverdale Education Savings Accounts.
Those are really a lot older accounts before the 529 came out. There's not a lot of those accounts left.
So Form 5329 can be filed along with the annual tax return for the year the missed RMD is finally distributed. It can also be filed as a standalone return. To request a waiver of a penalty on a missed RMD or to pay a penalty if there is no reasonable cause, an IRA owner or beneficiary will need to complete Part 9 of the form.
So I think a good question would be, what if you have had several years go by and you've missed multiple RMDs? Can you do that all on one form, or how do you do that?
No, Heidi. So if multiple RMDs are missed, the person will have to file a separate Form 5329 for each year an RMD was not taken. Thankfully, the steps are the same for each year, and the forms can be filed together. So again, if multiple RMDs are missed, you will have to file a separate 5329 for each year an RMD was not taken.
But you can put them in the same envelope and send them in?
Yep. So whether multiple missed RMDs impact the likelihood of relief will depend on the underlying facts, of course.
So Prout Financial Design live in the studio on this Thursday the 13th, but we'll repeat 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. You can pick it up on the website as well. But lots of opportunities to make mistakes. Don't do that. Just contact Prout or your financial advisor and make sure you're covered here.
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to call in. We are happy to sit and talk about this with you. Our number is 231-947-3992.
947-3992, ProutFinancialDesign.com, located in Traverse City, Michigan.